Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Friday. We made it. Made it through another week. No football this weekend, though, and that is a very depressing thought as we stare into the long dark of the offseason, but that doesn't mean we'll be stopping here at Cheesehead TV. Plenty of content coming your way, even though your humble narrator will be on vacation next week. That's right. If you have not heard yet this week during Daily, I will be off next week. There will be no Packers Daily throughout the course of next week, but we will have content here for you throughout the week. I got some great conversations lined up to drop while I'm away. Hope you'll enjoy those. One of those actually may go up tomorrow morning, but we are here talking Packers each and every day because that's what we do on Packers Daily. And today I just wanted to kind of touch base a little bit on the offensive approach, something that I talked about immediately after the playoff game and going back and rewatching the season. It's something that's really stuck out to me week after week. And I do think some of this can probably be boiled down to the fact that it was hard to operate on offense in general for the Packers this season, simply because of the inconsistent play of the offensive line. But something that I think could aid them, perhaps aid the quarterback, the O-line, the entire offense, really, is baking in a bit more varied tempo throughout the approach on offense. And that's not to say we have to go hurry up all the time or even hurry up in general, but the use of getting in and out of the huddle at a much faster clip and getting to the line of scrimmage and snapping the football immediately without allowing the defense to get set. And I understand that this may mitigate some of the motion, some of the personnel usage that LaFleur and his staff love to utilize. But I do think you've seen quite a bit of this throughout the league now where, yes, you can have a way of operating and you can certainly still utilize everything regarding motion and personnel substitutions down in and down out. But I also think you need, as a curveball, to be able to get up to the line of scrimmage, get in and out of the huddle with pace, get up to the line and snap the ball without allowing the defense to try and get a beat on what you're doing. I do think at this point there is so much motion and there is so much that the offense is trying to do to dictate to the defense where defenses have not, they certainly haven't ignored it, but they certainly know their answers for it. And by getting up to the line of scrimmage and just snapping the ball, you, I understand, are maybe taking away the quarterback's ability to gather information, as Aaron Rodgers used to say, but you're also not allowing the defense to gather information. And it's sad and somewhat depressing to go back and watch that playoff game and see how Ben Johnson utilized this exact thing against the Packers to great effect the course of their last few drives, where calls coming in, calls getting out of the quarterback's mouth in the huddle, it's getting up the line of scrimmage and they're snapping the ball. It really threw the Packers defense. And I think we've seen the Packers have this ability before. They've certainly utilized this kind of thing under LaFleur. Most notably, the one that always sticks out to me is a couple years ago after the loss in Detroit, where Aaron Glenn just blitzed the shit out of them and they continuously took the play clock down to 2 or 1 seconds, and meaning the defense knew when to pin its ears back and get after Jordan Love. That following week in Seattle, another road game, the first quarter in particular, they just got in and out of the huddle and snapped the ball and ran a play. And I don't think Seattle was ready for that. And again, it's not something that you do it every week or even every game throughout whatever drives, whatever. But I do think it's something that needs to be in your quiver, so to speak, an arrow that you can pull out and shoot when the defense starts to get a beat on how you're operating and what you're doing. We'll see what transpires over the course of this offseason as far as personnel, certainly, but then potential changes to approach. I know each and every year, LaFleur and his staff get together and look at their tendencies and look at things that maybe gave them problems. And I think there are a number of games, especially down the stretch, where this was an issue, taking that play clock all the way down. And I know we grumbled about it when Rodgers was in town. I'm going to continue to grumble about it now that Jordan Love's in charge of the offense, because he's got to have the ability to get up there and at least take the reins, so to speak, and get some tempo going on offense every once in a while. Again, I'm not calling for Jordan Love to run the show, but certainly you'd like to see him get a little bit more kind of I want to say ownership of the offense and the ability to run things at the line of scrimmage, get in and out of the huddle with tempo. And perhaps that means that LaFleur and company need to kind of streamline how plays are called, or even the nomenclature that they're using in play calls and things like that. This is all stuff that I have no doubt they will go over this offseason inside 1265, but certainly it's something I hope to see in 2026, because I do think Jordan Love is ready to take on more of that responsibility. What's going on, everybody? Good to see you all chiming in. Hello, how are we? I know it's always fun to mix it up here on a Friday, end of the week. Hope everyone's ready for a fun weekend wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Before we get going, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our friends over at ThetaCare. With ThetaCare Orthopedic Care, championship-level care is delivered to every fan and every athlete. Whether you're dealing with a nagging injury or recovering from surgery, the ThetaCare team is ready to help you heal smart and get back in the game. Because in Wisconsin, folks play hard and they recover harder. ThetaCare, proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. All right, folks, what's going on? What's on your mind? We got Joe right off the bat. What's up, man? Has Matt LaFleur been more inclined to drain the play clock since switching from Rodgers to Love, or was it more of a 2025 thing? Interestingly, I think it's been an issue regardless of who the quarterback is. I think some of that is down to the fact that they do like to utilize personnel changes to try and both, you know, dictate things to the defense, but also keep the defense on their toes as far as their substitutions, and at times maybe going heavy to try and get an advantageous look personnel-wise. But also, yeah, there's a bit of the, okay, cumbersome play calls, get those guys in and out of on the field, on, in the huddle, so to speak, and then Jordan having to get the playoff, play out in the huddle, and then once they've done all that, they have to get up the line of scrimmage and run the motion that's inherent in the system, and then by the time all of that happens, they're down to under five seconds usually, you know? So again, it just feels like a slight tweak that could be made to help just keep the defense off balance enough for Jordan and company to take advantage. But yeah, I think this is very much driven by the style of offense LaFleur wants to run and how they go about running it. And it feels like it could be a pretty simple kind of ingredient to add to the mix. And it doesn't have to be dramatic. It doesn't have to be, again, it doesn't even have to be every game, but certainly there's going to be defenses where I think you should be able to institute this kind of thing to switch things up, where they don't count on you taking the play clock down each and every snap, right? Paul, what's going on, man? Thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Is a healthy Savion the main kick returner and gadget receiver? Presume that this was Goody's plan when drafting him. I think certainly to start his career, he will be a kick returner, and I think there's a decent chance he continues in that role next year. I don't know that he's only going to be a gadget receiver. I know when I put out my Draft Crush video last year, I said, certainly raw, but you love the tools and the build and everything he brings to the wide receiver room as a prospect. I think, and I still think, and I know Gutekunst talked about this last year after they drafted him, I think they see him long-term as becoming a legit NFL wide receiver. I think he's got every tool you could ever want in that regard. Now, he's got to do it. He's got to do the work. And as we talk about all the time here on Packers Daily, the biggest jump guys make in the league traditionally is from year one to year two. So much will come down to the work Savion puts in on his own this offseason away from the program. But I don't think he needs to be limited. I don't think he's only that, right? Now, that's a way to get him on the field, get the ball in his hand, etc. But I think long-term, there's a possibility that he could become a legit wide receiver, NFL Packers wide receiver. There's a ways to go. I'm not saying there isn't. He's still, you know, somewhat raw, and you hate that so much of the back half of the year he was dealing with that foot injury. But, man, I think he's got every tool that you possibly need. He's got the typical Packers wide receiver build that they love. You've certainly seen his ability to go high point the ball, certainly physical enough the way he runs. Initiates contact even when running. Yeah, man, I just think it's going to take some time and some polish, but no doubt in my mind he can do it at this level. I suspect we're going to see more of that next year. Jerry, what's up, man? Have a great vacation, Nags. Thank you so much. Honestly, cannot wait. I am very excited. I booked this before football season. My girls said, when can we go? When can we go? When can we? I said, after the Super Bowl. And I, very probably foolishly, added a week behind the Super Bowl in case the Packers were in the Super Bowl, which of course they weren't, but just in case, needed that week after the Super Bowl to go over the season, which now we've done. So yeah, I'm out of here. Very excited. Mike Witt, how are you, sir? Hey, Nags, two things. First, you and me disagree on how to fan, but just wanted to say I always respect your opinions and love Cheesehead TV. Second, will Billy be with you at the Combine for a Carry the G episode? First of all, thank you so much for the kind words at the start there. Very much agree, man. Like, just because you approach it differently doesn't mean we can't chill and, like, at least love the Packers. We can share that underlining sentiment. How we go about it might be different. No question about it. And I always appreciate your contributions, Mike. As far as Billy and the Combine, I think so. I still haven't heard definitively whether Billy is going to be at the Combine. I know he wants to go. He's trying to wrangle the trip for work. I will be at the Combine. So regardless, Billy and I will still record an episode. And speaking of Billy and Carry the G Radio, the podcast, be on the lookout for a new episode this weekend. We recorded one today to drop this weekend because I will be gone, but there will be a new Carry the G Radio episode this weekend where we kind of pulled back and took a look at Wisconsin sports in general. Obviously, we start with the Packers, but then we also touched on the Brewers, the Bucks, Badgers men's basketball. Because, look, it'd be silly of me not to talk to Billy about these things because, you know, he's a professional yapper who's on the radio every single day talking about these things. So thought this would be a good moment while I'm away to kind of pull back and talk about a bunch of different sports teams there in Wisconsin because God knows Billy's on the pulse of all of that. E4, what's going on, man? Somewhere there is an absolutely brilliant idea that will stun everyone with its brilliant simplicity. Ain't coming from me, though. I got nothing. Hey, man. Salute to a brother who understands where he fits in the firmament. Cheers. I'm right there with you, man. Yeah. That's above my pay grade, most of it. Nick D, how are you, sir? Why was Goody LaFleur talking so much heat or taking so much heat online after the Super Bowl? You would have thought Green Bay lost the game 50-0. These guys are better than half the league. Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there, Nick. You know, it's frustrating watching two programs, two teams that have GMs from Green Bay, got their starts in Green Bay. And then you throw in the fact that there are two coaches in the Super Bowl who have been in their respective spots for 2 years and 1 year. You know, you talk about a GM and a coach who have been together since 2019 and have yet to reach the Super Bowl, let alone win it. I understand people's impatience. I get the frustrations, you know, and I certainly get it after a wild card playoff loss where you were up 21-3 at half and you ended up losing to your hated rival. You know, I never question people's passion. I totally get why, especially after that Super Bowl in particular, probably people are going in because they are sick of it, right? They've seen the Packers, you know, reach the playoffs each of the last 3 years as a 7 seed, having to essentially crawl into the postseason. And the last 2 years in particular, they haven't looked really good going down the stretch in December. They certainly haven't been the team no one wants to face, you know? Now, they came out of the gate humming in Chicago, but couldn't hold on. And what's so sad is somebody reminded me of this the other day, a friend of mine I saw at the Super Bowl, who had asked, well, what do you think about the Packers-Bears playoff game? And I had jokingly sent a text saying the Packers will be up by 10 in the fourth and then lose. Because that's what they had done all year, right? That was essentially their identity in 2025. And lo and behold, it was even worse than that, right? So I get the frustrations, man. Yeah, are they the worst? No, of course not. Are they really talented and are they close? Absolutely. Are they in the midst of a championship window? 1,000,000,000%. But man, those slings and arrows ain't going to stop until they win the thing or get fired. that's how this ends for both Goody and LaFleur. And I suspect that they've both signed. Now, there's no reporting on this, but the guess here is probably 4 or 5 year deals. And the kind of big heavy lifting is going to have to get done here in the next 2 to 3 seasons. That's the window they're working with. And until we get one of those outcomes, people are still going to throw shade online each and every day. And as Packers fans, I'm sorry you're going to have to live with it, but you are. You know, people are dug in now. And every throw, every botched kick, every sack that the quarterback takes, every game they lose, certainly, is going to be a referendum on this trio. Well, really a duo. Well, you throw Russ Ball in there. But, you know, Brian and Matt are going to live and die each and every week online. Now, they don't pay attention to that stuff. Although I know LaFleur does a little bit more than he lets on. You know, but they are going to take these slings and arrows for the next couple years until they win a Super Bowl. And if they don't, then everyone who's hated on them for the last X number of years is going to get their seemingly most relished, I told you so. That's where we're at. That's where we're living as Packers fans now. Soder, what's up, brother? Offensive tempo and pace in Green Bay? You are dreaming, Nags, but you're not the only one. Nice nod to Lennon there. Yeah, I can dream. It just feels like such a simple ask. Like, I get there's a lot going on the offensive side of the ball, and there's a lot they're trying to accomplish down in and down out with game design, game planning, the schematics of it all. I understand there's a lot to teach, a lot to go over, a lot to drill. But, man, streamlining some of this and utilizing tempo seems like such an obvious kind of, I don't know, addition that can bring benefit instantly to your offense. But I hear you, Soder. I understand. I'm probably dreaming. Jerry, how are you, sir? My good friend and fellow cheesehead, Tim Curran, said you blocked him on Twitter. He said he's sorry and wants you to unblock him. He's got somebody doing super chats to try to get unblocked. Tell him to email me like a man and show me why or where I blocked him. Because obviously I have no idea who this is. And sometimes, I'm glad you brought this up, however, because I will say, some people are like, what did you block me for? Sometimes I'll see you being a dick to someone I know or like, you're going to get blocked. You don't have to be a dick to me. If I see you being a dick to one of my friends, why would I want you in my life? Why would I want you in my feed? This is not hard, right? So it might be tough. Brockman, how are you, sir? I say all 11 dudes need to wear a wrist play card. Jordan Love says, play 22. Everyone looks at play 22. Done. 30 seconds on the play clock on break of the huddle. That's probably why I don't coach football. Well, you joke, Brockman, but there have been systems where one word is the call. Like, that was a kind of a fad for a few years. And I know the Patriots did this during when Brady was in town for a bit in certain situations. And that's the thing. Some of it is situational. That's why you see guys with the quarterbacks with their wristbands on for third down calls and things like that. But that's, you know, certainly worth exploring. If, say, just the 2-minute drill, let's say, you get into one word play calls, will certainly help not allow the defense to pin its ears back because it knows the snap is coming because you keep taking it down to 2 or 1 second on the play clock. It's not out of the realm of craziness here. E4, what's up? Nothing foolish about it. Always expect the Packers to win the Super Bowl. Enjoy your vacation. Well earned. Oh, thank you, sir. Yeah, you know, just got to be careful. I don't want to be booking a trip with my girls and then have the Packers making all sorts of news because they won the Super Bowl. Don't need that. Gavin Gaming, it's a fair question. Do you think Matt is going to finally let Love throw more this season? I think you'll see a tad more kind of, for lack of a better term, aggression on early downs. But I don't think you're ever going to see Matt LaFleur turn into a let's let Jordan Love throw it 45, 50 times a game type that I know fans probably wish he would. And I think it's smart. I think he's right to utilize the running game the way he does, because more often than not, it should be an aid for your quarterback and the offense in general. Now, they couldn't run the ball for shit this year, and that certainly put them in a bad spot. But I do think, you know, you look at Jordan Love, and the advanced metrics are excellent this year. The turnovers went way down. But part of that is because his coach is keeping him in a good situation and in good situations with his play call. You know, understanding that, hey, my offensive line is not holding up this year. So by not asking his quarterback to continuously drop back 40 times a game behind a sieve of an offensive line, that's kind of smart in my book. So, and I know it's frustrating when you watch those early downs and they run into a wall and you're so frustrated. There is method to that madness. And as frustrating as it can be, I get where LaFleur is most likely coming from there. But with that said, the more Jordan plays, I think, yeah, the more you can probably, at least a little bit, lean into early down aggression, which I do think we'll see a bit more of next year. Just a bit, but a bit more. Rob Kress, I've seen a bit of this. Bring Aaron Jones home. I'm not going to say it's impossible. I'm not going to say it never happened, but I'd be pretty surprised. Now, that said, I talked about it yesterday. They definitely need a little bit more juice there in the offensive backfield. Now, bringing in end of the line of regarding his career, Aaron Jones, is that the answer? Probably not. I doubt that's the way Gutekunst would go, but again, never say never. I'll never completely dismiss the idea. All right, everybody, I got to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. I'll see you in a week. Enjoy the weekend. Go Pack, go.